For those of you who are taking thesis seminar, wanted to create a second audio, kind of a follow-up to yesterday's audio where I talk about how to go about organizing your ideas when developing your results and discussion section. This is In the Classroom. I'm Benjamin Stewart at BenjaminLStewart.org. I'm going to try this again. This is actually my third attempt at trying to get something decent recorded for you all. I've had some major problems here. So this is going to be my third attempt, and hopefully this will come out a little bit better than prior attempts. I want to spend a little bit more time getting into some deeper examples about how you can organize your ideas for developing a results and discussion section. Before I get into that, I want to remind everyone that I am recording all of our tutoring sessions throughout the week. So if you go to week two in Google Classroom and you search for the tab Recorded Tutoring Sessions, you'll find a link that will open up all of the folders by week. And for this particular week, since we're in week 13, you can go into that folder and you should see your recordings from this week. Of course, all the prior recordings are still available. And I'll be talking with all of you about this more later, but I probably will be deleting all of the recordings probably at the end of exams in June, probably the third or fourth week of June. Perhaps I'll wait to the end of June to remove all those recordings. So you don't have to do anything about this now if you're even interested in keeping those recordings. I am going to be removing all of those, destroying all of those at the end of June next month. The second thing I want to mention before we get into today's discussion is the two assignments that I uploaded to Google Classroom. If you go under classwork, under week 14, that's going to be next week, and next Friday, we're going to have an assignment due that is going to include your results and discussion section. And week 15, we'll have a second assignment due that's going to relate mainly to the abstract introduction and conclusion. Week 15, we're going to be ending our work on our thesis paper. Again, May 24th is going to be our final deadline for completing the completed first draft. And so if you're not happy with the grade that you receive next week for the results and discussion section, as well as the other sections, the method section, and also the literature review, I'll be taking a final look and at that time after May 24th. And I certainly have no problem changing all of the grades as long as the changes have been made based on our discussions and based on the written feedback that I left in each of your respective Google Docs. Again, if you do have any questions about any of the feedback that I leave in your Google Docs or anything that we've talked about, please let me know. All right, so I want to get into the results and discussion section and focus again on coherency. You're really at a critical point in your writing process in that you're moving now from your data analysis. And hopefully now all of you have spent a couple of weeks trying to get your head around the data, implementing a lot of different strategies, including coding and different cycles of coding to really understand the details of your findings, really thinking, spending a lot of time thinking about it. What does it mean in terms of the literature review? Which data, which information is more important than others? There's going to be information that you are not going to include in your results and discussion section. So you're going to need to be very deliberate and very particular when you go back and decide what information is going to be included and what's not. Today, I want to talk about and give you four different examples of ways that you can organize your data. So let's start with the first way that you can do this. The first is you can look at the way in which you presented your research questions. So let's say that you have three research questions. The first might be, well, how does a teacher implement a certain techniques, for example? your first section could be dedicated to answering that first research question. All right, so you would give reasons why and develop that idea in the first section. Maybe your second question is a why question. Your second section then could be dedicated to answering that second research question, and so on. So you could organize the sections based on the research questions, essentially just answering each research question in turn. A second way you could organize your results and discussion section is by respecting the same order that you presented your theory. So you could basically keep the same ideas, the same concepts, and develop your answers to your research questions, but organize it by based on your theory. That's certainly another common way that you can go about organizing your results and discussion section. A third way that you can organize your results and discussion section is by separating the sections and dedicating each section to a particular teacher participant. Many of you are doing case studies, so you have two, maybe three teachers that you are focusing on, and so you can include different sections in your results and discussion section, one section for each of your teacher participants in this case, or maybe the groups, right? So you have one teacher and a group, obviously, with that teacher, and so you could develop and describe each of those groups and each of those teachers per section. Another way that you can go about organizing your results and discussion section is thinking in terms of your coding. Remember, we talked about different cycles of coding where maybe the first cycle you take initial coding, those detailed labels of your text, and you move those initial codes and you categorize, you group those into categories. And then maybe you move and go on to a second cycle where you move the categories to either theories or maybe even approaches. So depending on how many cycles that you have, you're going to end up with probably 2 to 3, maybe 4 theories or approaches or even activities. Just depends on the nature of your study. But those could serve as sections for your results and discussion section. So you could actually get the sections from your coding strategy, from your cycled codings. And it's going to be at the point where you've gone through 2 or 3, maybe 4 cycles, and you've developed really general labels, general references, right, to those details that you got from the coding. The advantage of doing this is that you will have a lot of different concepts and phrases and even words that associate with each of your topics. And so I think it's going to help you develop a lot of the ideas for each of those sections based on the coding. Your coding actually serves as kind of maybe not an outline per se, but it's certainly going to provide a lot of key ideas and key words that I think will help you a lot in developing the ideas within each of your sections. Just like what we discussed in your literature review, because you're being asked to develop a results and discussion section of 2,500 words, probably 2 to 4 subsections are going to be appropriate. So you're going to have, again, 2 to 4 level 2 headings that are going to divide up this one section into manageable parts. And so these are 4 ways that you can think about in terms of how you might go about organizing your ideas. Of course, there are many other ways that you can organize your ideas. But the main point here is that I want you to recognize that some ways of organizing your ideas, especially these 4 that I've shared with you today, some are going to be more appropriate than others. It really depends on the nature of your own study and what you're trying to answer. How are you trying to explain yourself? And what is going to be the most appropriate way and easiest way for you to be understood? That should be one of the main questions when you're trying to figure out, well, which way is the best way. The best way is the way that's going to be the easiest to understand. Someone else needs to understand what you're saying. They're not going to have the benefit of having spent hours and hours thinking and understanding this information as you have. And this week, week 13, is really a critical week for thinking in terms of writing a coherent text. Writing answers to your research questions that are very much in line with the theory, but in a way that makes it easy for one to understand you. This also is a time where I have many discussions with many of you about modifying slightly your research questions, or adding even a research question, or removing one or two questions, depending on the situation. I had a discussion today, one of my first tutoring sessions after our break, and we decided on changing the order in which the research questions were presented. We talked about modifying certain questions, and that really is part of the process. I want each of you to take another look at your research questions. As you're developing and thinking about your ideas and how you want to lay out these ideas in your results and discussion section, is make sure that you are answering your research questions. And if you find that you're not, if you're not explicitly answering each of your questions, then take another look at your theory, take another look at your research questions, and see how you can adapt, modify, change your questions in a way that make both your theory and your research questions align with the results that you want to share. It's very common for some of you to find really great information, interesting information that maybe you didn't expect. But you go back to the theory and you go back to the research questions, and you find that even though that information is really interesting, it really doesn't answer your research questions. And in those cases, right, we have to leave out the information. It's better to leave it out. Even if it's super interesting and it's great, looks something that you really would love to share, we can't share it just for the sake of sharing it. It needs to relate to your research questions. If we can adapt, if you can change and modify some of your research questions and still make sure that this aligns with your theoretical framework, then fine, right? But if it's really beyond the scope of your study and does not relate to your theory, does not really answer your research questions, it's better to leave it out. So this is basically what I wanted to share with you to provide you some examples. There's one more thing here I forgot to mention. It's not necessary to include an introduction in the results and discussion section. All right, so get right to it. Get to the first subsection, the first level 2 heading, and begin by answering your questions. Begin by answering your questions. It's not necessary, again, to have a introduction paragraph to introduce the results and discussion section. Okay, you want to get the most out of this section. You're going to have a lot to talk about, so jump right into the answers. The last thing I want to mention here again before we sum up here today's discussion is to think about the differences between what results are and what a discussion is. What are the differences between those two? And then how you can go about bringing forth that information in your own research. Remember that the results deals with your findings. Those are going to be all of the data, the information from your interviews with your teachers, with your students. It might be information from your questionnaires. It could be any type of document analysis. If you had a lesson plan or you had a mission or a vision statement from an institution, anything that is in writing, then that is also data. That's information that's going to be considered results. So results are going to be your findings. Discussion, on the other hand, is going to be your interpretation of your results. Your discussion is your analysis, your comments, your opinions that relates back to your results. So let's think about your body paragraphs within your results and discussion section, and think about two main approaches that you can take when thinking about each body paragraph. Let's take one example where you develop a body paragraph, and we need to begin thinking again about the meal plan. The meal plan, just as we discussed in when developing your literature review, and we've discussed it many times when developing a regular essay, an academic essay, you're going to have M, you're going to have a topic sentence or a main idea that's going to begin the body paragraph. You're going to have evidence sentences, you're going to have analysis sentences, and you're going to have either linking or a summarizing sentence at the end of your body paragraph. Well, the evidence in your literature review or in an academic essay is coming from an outside source, as you already know. It's coming from some sort of article or a book that you found that you're including to support your main idea. In your results and discussion section, the evidence sentences are going to be a little bit different. You're going to begin each body paragraph in your results and discussion section with the main idea, just like in a literature review. You're going to conclude each body paragraph in your results and discussion section with a linking sentence or a summarizing sentence, just like you did in your literature review. But the evidence sentences are going to be slightly different. The evidence sentences and your body paragraphs within the results and discussion section are now going to be your findings. They're going to be your results. You're going to provide the evidence sentences based on your fieldwork, your observations, your interviews, your coding, all of that information that you collected yourself, that's going to be considered results. Those are going to be your evidence sentences in your body paragraphs in this section. The analysis sentences are going to be the discussion. The analysis sentences are going to be your interpretation, what it means, your explanation about the evidence or your findings or your results in terms of your topic sentence. So the differences here in the meal plan between these two sections, the literature review and the results and discussion section, is going to be the evidence sentences and the analysis sentences. The analysis sentences, as I mentioned, beyond your own interpretation, you're also going to include citations to support your interpretation. So the citations that are coming from outside sources in this section are going to actually come or are going to be considered analysis sentences, not evidence. Remember, evidence sentences are going to be your data. The analysis sentences are going to be your interpretation, your comments, along with any citations that you're bringing in from outside sources, any citations or references or sources that also are coming from your literature review. Don't make the mistake of including citations from outside sources that were not mentioned or that do not relate back to your theoretical framework or your literature review. When you develop a body paragraph, one of your choices, one of your options is to include both evidence and analysis sentences within the same body paragraph. In other words, you can include both results and discussion within the same body paragraph. Just make sure that you begin with a topic sentence or main idea. Make sure that you present the results first. Make sure you present your evidence first. We talked a lot about making sure that when you develop body paragraphs in your literature review, that evidence needs to come before the analysis. So similarly, when you're developing your own body paragraph in the results and discussion section, the evidence needs to precede the analysis, or the results need to always come before the discussion. Now, you're going to find some examples where the opposite is true. You're going to find examples that where some writers, even learners here in the BA, they may choose to write the discussion the analysis first or the discussion first and then present the results. In my opinion, I would suggest to everyone to present your results first and then analyze your results. The main point here, though, is to present your topic sentence first. The mistake a lot of writers will make is that they'll just jump right into the evidence. They'll just start presenting their findings with no topic sentence or no main idea presented beforehand, so nobody knows what they're referring to. So sometimes writers will overcompensate and they'll start analyzing. They'll think maybe that they're developing a main idea, but they're going into maybe two, three sentences of an analysis, All right. Remember that a topic sentence or a main idea, we try to limit that to one sentence. So one sentence generally state the main idea. Don't go into an analysis, but just generally state the main idea that sets up, that introduces the paragraph, and then give us the details. Give us all the details, and then follow up with an analysis or your discussion or your interpretation. That is what I would suggest when developing your body paragraph. This is one way that you can bring in both your results and your discussion into a single body paragraph. Of course, at the end of the body paragraph, you need to have a summarizing sentence or a linking sentence that links the idea of this body paragraph with the main idea of the following body paragraph. Now, let me give you a second way that you can look at presenting your results and discussion section. The second way is to actually divide up the results and discussion section into two separate body paragraphs. Let's say that you have developed a topic sentence and you think to yourself, well, there's a lot of information, a lot of details that I need to include that support this main idea. And I'm going to need an entire paragraph just to talk about those results. In that case, you're going to again begin with a main idea or topic sentence. And then all of your supporting sentences within that same body paragraph could all be evidence. They could all be results. So you're going to triangulate all of the information. You're going to bring in information from all different types of data sources. And then you're going to conclude that same body paragraph with a linking sentence or a conclusion sentence. All right. So in this example, you're actually going to have all evidence sentences. Okay, it would be something like M-E-E-E-L, for example. And in this case, you will not have any analysis sentences or any discussion sentences in that example. Then the next body paragraph, what do you need to do? Well, you need to begin with a body paragraph and then continue developing supporting sentences that are going to analyze what you mentioned in the prior paragraph, or you're going to discuss, you're going to basically spend the whole paragraph discussing the results from the prior paragraph. Of course, you're going to then conclude that second body paragraph with a linking sentence or a summarizing sentence. So these are two examples. You can decide to bring in both the evidence and analysis in one paragraph, or you can divide it into two different paragraphs. One way is not inherently better than the other. How are you going to know? It all goes back to the topic sentence. What do you need? How do you need to, or what do you need to share and write out to support that main idea and to break it down into manageable parts, manageable chunks of information that someone else can read it for the first time and understand what you're saying. So don't make a decision from the very beginning. Say, I like including evidence and analysis or results and discussion in the same paragraph, and that's what I'm going to do for every paragraph in my results and discussion section. Don't do that. You want to actually, again, take each body paragraph in turn and decide at that moment, okay, what's best? What's best? What's the easiest way for me to explain myself and the easiest way for someone to understand me in terms of the idea, the claim that I'm stating in my topic sentence? The main thing here is, regardless of how you decide on developing your body paragraphs and deciding on how you're presenting your results and your discussion, keep two things in mind. Number one, present your results first before you analyze it. Present your results first before you discuss it. And number two, very important, make sure that you have a good balance between results and discussion. We've talked a lot about this before in your theory, in your result, in your literature review. Make sure you have a good balance between evidence and analysis. Make sure you have a good balance between results and your discussion. So I think we'll stop there. I hope this helps. We got a little bit deeper into some examples about how you can divide up your ideas. Certainly there are additional ways that you can go about this. I think the main thing is to decide how you want to divide up your ideas, which organizational pattern is going to be most appropriate. And then when you begin writing the results and discussion section, make decisions about how you want to divide up the results and discussion within each topic sentence, with each main point for each of your body paragraphs. If at any point you're not sure, especially with the organizational pattern that you're going to follow to define those main subsections, if you're not sure, then we definitely need to talk about this. So either post a question in Google, in your Google Doc, if it's something that you think we can deal with via comments, via leaving comments in Google Docs, or obviously schedule time with me so we can sit down and discuss the specifics of your questions. I think we'll stop there. This has been In the Classroom. I'm Benjamin Stewart at BenjaminLStewart.org, making teaching and learning more transparent.